You can't stop praising the name, praising God. You just can't stop, I could go on singing and just giving God praise for all that he's done and for what he's about to do in my life, not just my life, but your life too. I want to hear your testimonies. I want to hear testimonies from everybody. I want to stand here and testify of God's goodness. I want you to stand here and testify of God's goodness. Amen. 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 So today we celebrate Palm Sunday. Hallelujah. Well, here's my palm. It's not perfect, but unfortunately it's the best I could do now. And God is pleased with your best. Doesn't have to be perfect. But I'm about to make a commitment unto the Lord that hopefully by next Palm Sunday I can make it better, make a better cross. But we give God praise. Amen. Please, before we go into prayer, please turn your books, turn your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. Amen. Amen. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt tied with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the King, to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. They said, who is this? And the response was, this is Jesus. Who is this in your life? Who gave you the ability to sit where you are sitting today? This is Jesus. He's been doing it for so long. He's been doing it since before time. He's still doing it today. This is Jesus. Amen. Shall we just bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. As we're about to get into your word today, Lord, we ask, oh Lord, for illumination from above. For insight from above, Lord, not the wisdom of man, not the words of man, but your words in the mighty name of Jesus. You get the glory, you get the praise, you get all the adoration. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Just want to thank God for this opportunity to be, to bring God's word to God's people today. It's not an opportunity that I take lightly, and I thank our senior pastor, our pastors, for giving me the opportunity, for trusting me to bring God's word to you. It's a privilege. I do not take it for granted, and I'm grateful to God. Amen. So as we read in the book of Matthew 21, we saw obedience all through the way. Jesus talks to two of his disciples. He says, go into the city, the village over ahead of you, and straightway you will find an ass. You find a donkey and bring them unto me. And they went. And he said, if anyone asks you, just say that the Lord has need of them. So like I was talking about, as I was saying during the offering, our God is a God of possibilities. And whenever God sends you to do something, it is possible for you. It's possible for him, but he wants to see you obey him and go do it. The grace, the strength, the wisdom is already provided for you. And the disciples went, right? And then they found the donkey. And they brought the donkey unto the Lord. And also, the donkey had to be obedient, to calm down, to be used by the Lord, to ride into the city. And when I wasn't in my not-so-witted years, when I was still, well, I wasn't in church every single Sunday. Maybe I was. Maybe I missed a couple. But way back in the day, one of the stories that always got to me was the story of the donkey. Because the donkey got the royal treatment, right? Did he get the royal treatment? Because the donkey put Jesus, lifted Jesus up. And the way this preacher preached back then, he said it wasn't Jesus. Jesus didn't step on the garments. It was that donkey, in obedience, stepping on that garment. So in my not-so-witted years, I always remember that story. Like, you lift Jesus up. There's an honor that comes with it. It will come to you. But the possible thing for you to do is to lift Jesus up. Be obedient to him. And this must have been maybe an hour and a half long sermon back in the day. But fortunately for me, and maybe unfortunately, but that's the only thing I got from that service. And it stuck with me. And that must have been over maybe 20 years ago. That the donkey got the royal treatment. You know, he did. And, you know, because the donkey didn't have to cooperate. He didn't. The donkey could have just decided to be really, really stubborn right that moment. But the donkey cooperated. And we saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords riding in on a donkey, a symbol of peace, not of war. In humility, just proclaiming himself as the Messiah because it was prophesied. And that's why the Holy Week, today we celebrate Palm Sunday, is not a day to take lightly. It was the fulfillment of prophecy. If you turn your books with me to the book of Zechariah, Zechariah 9, verse 9. Amen. The word of God says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." That's Zechariah. Maybe like 500 years before that. And now it's happening. Say, it is happening. It is happening. There's some prophecies concerning your life. That you will see in the name of Jesus. You have to do the possible. Do the possible, you will see it in Jesus' name. So Zechariah said it, and now it's happening. And Jesus allows it to happen. Because he understands that this is part of God's plan. Because this was the last week of the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the very first time in his earthly ministry, Jesus allows the people to publicly declare him as the Messiah. In the past, Jesus would heal you. heal some people, heal the leper, say, now go, make sure you don't tell anyone. Of course, they would still tell people. But he would say, go, make sure you don't tell anyone. Go show yourself to the priest as it's by custom. But today, he allowed people to declare him boldly as the Messiah. Amen. And in case you're wondering why Jesus didn't want all that publicity, Jesus was a man on a mission. The healing is important, but the message, that message, his purpose, he wanted to make sure that purpose was fulfilled. Well, he had to fulfill that purpose for you and I so that we can walk with our heads hanging high today, knowing fully well that no matter the opposition, we have the greatest defender who fights our battles for us. So today, it might look like you're surrounded by opposition, bills. What are some of those other irrelevant things that we have under our feet right now? Health problems, immigration, legal, your job, your boss. Oh, God. Looks like you're surrounded, but no. Look at it differently. In the eyes of the supernatural, you are truly surrounded by God. He says, he will give his angels charge over you. No harm, no plagues come near your dwelling. You stand on those words. The word of God says that all his promises are yes and amen. When he promises, will he deliver? Today, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, just remember, he will deliver you. Amen. So Jesus didn't want people focusing on the miracles he performed, but rather the message he proclaimed and the death that he was going to die. And that is still the same today. It's not about the miracles. It's, are we telling people? Are we evangelizing? Are we going out? Are we shining for Christ wherever we are? Are we living the life for Christ? Are we doing what we should do? Are we doing the possible that God is pleased with us? Are we living that lifestyle of faith? Can you boldly say that your life is characterized by faith? Amen. Just know that we serve a God of miracles. We serve a God of miracles. Don't know how he's going to do it, but he will. And I think that's the most exciting part of everything. I don't know how he's going to do it. And it's mind-boggling. I think I know I said I was going to share this story at some point in doing this service. But, and I'm not sure if I've shared it here, but if I have, forgive me, I'll share it again because it blows my mind every time. My current job right now, I was really amazed. I was amazed when I found out how many people wanted it. When it hit me how many people wanted the job that I have right now, I was just in awe of God. 121. If God could just open your eyes to see that. I was so glad that he opened my eyes to see that. 121 people said, hey, I want this job. But my God, your God, because we serve the same God, right? I came out on top because of God. And what blew my mind was, So most people call me Deacon Miwa, but my full name is Olumiwa Amonagun. It's long. It's got like, in college, it's how I knew they were talking about me was when they went, I'm like, okay. And that's okay. But so, I mean, the first couple of times, I'm like, seriously? But after a while, you just get used to it. It is what it is. And you keep it moving. I've had people say, how did you get this job? It's not like people just regularly pick up your name. But I'm like, that's your problem. Go talk to God. Go talk to my God. But I was the one standing. As blessed as my name is, I was the one standing. I never forget that. Never take that for granted. And those are the things that money cannot buy. I can't put a price tag on that. I can't do that for myself. I can't go into a hat of 120 people and pick up myself. But the Lord did that for me because he is a God of possibilities. Amen. So what was the main message of Jesus? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody on this earth can get to the Father except through Jesus. The healing, all the work that we do in ministries, but the message is the most important thing, so that the whole world knows that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. So we could see that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. It was prophesied by by Zechariah, and it came to pass. There's some theologians that say that Daniel actually prophesied it, even up until the day, but I didn't have enough time to dig in. But I know I heard that. But this was a fulfillment of prophecy. His birth, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, prophesied it happened. Him riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, it happened. The resurrection, it happened. The second coming of our Lord, will it happen? Amen. You best believe it. Amen. He is coming again. He's coming back. Amen. Amen. So we need to stay ready. How are you going to stay ready? Oh, you need to stay ready. Stay very close. Draw nigh unto the Lord. Have a relationship with him, a very personal one, not based on your mother or your father or your children or your spouse. Your relationship with God. Amen. And watch God do that which you can't do for yourself. Amen. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been learning about the wisdom of God, how important it is, how to engage it, how to live a life of godly wisdom, both for yourself, in the workplace, in the marketplace, in whatever you do, how to apply godly wisdom. I know that godly wisdom is obedience to God. The Word of God says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So fear God. Don't take him for granted at all. Have that reverent fear for the Lord. Always live a life knowing fully well that God is watching. He already told you, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. So how would you think he's not watching? How do you think he's not watching? How do you think he doesn't know when you slip up deliberately, knowing fully well, when you should apologize and you take 2 years to? God is watching. He's here with us. And we cannot overlook the fact that Jesus rode into Jerusalem in wisdom. I mean, that had to be wisdom of the highest order. That is godly wisdom. Because without the wisdom of God, he's not riding into Jerusalem. Earthly wisdom says Japan, Johannesburg, a city that starts with J, but not Jerusalem. But he knew what God had in mind. He knew the heart of God, that this is bigger. This is bigger than just life. This is the salvation for all mankind. Amen. And he humbly, obediently went to Jerusalem, declared himself as king, knowing fully well that this same crowd that's shouting, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," in less than a week would change to crucify him. Yet he went. That is wisdom. The word of God says, please turn with me to James 3:17. It talks about the wisdom that comes from above. The word of God says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and secure. Does that remind you of how Jesus came into Jerusalem? He came pure. He came in peace. He was considerate. He was submissive unto the Lord. He was full of mercy and good fruit. He was impartial. He was sincere, riding in on that donkey into Jerusalem. That is the wisdom of God. Doesn't seek its own, but gives glory unto the Lord. So we can say Jesus' week started on a good note, right? People are praising him. We all like, everybody likes to be praised, but people are proclaiming him. This is the Messiah. Hosanna in the highest. People are waving. I want to imagine that there must have been people there who had palms like this, who didn't know how to weave it well, but they put palms together, laid it before the Lord, and honored the king. Amen. So his week started on a good note on Sunday, but by Friday, they want him dead. So in the natural, this does not look good. To me, this would, and you know, when you're younger, this is a time whereby you're thinking, but he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He could just, you know, disappear, right? Or he could just, I don't know if you guys watch Marvel movies, he could just freeze them in time, right? You know, that's what superheroes do. But that would be earthly wisdom because God had a plan. God's plan is the best plan that anybody can ever partner with, the plan of the Most High God. He knew that God had a mighty, mighty good plan. And so we're not freezing them in time. Just let them do what they do. But he stayed the course, knowing fully well with all confidence that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose. Amen. Have you ever had one of those days, one of those weeks whereby things just, they start on a really, really good note? And then by the end of the day or by the end of the week, things just start to look fuzzy. If you have confidence in the God that you serve, that all things will work together for your good, never forget that. We, in our family, we had a situation like that 2 Sundays ago. It was a Sunday. They started off beautifully, perfect day. Come in here, you lead prayer, you lead people into the presence of God. After church, we have lunch with family and friends. And then so we go home with our young son who's falling asleep in the car. So he's taking a nap right by my wife. And he wakes up, lets out this really, really loud cry that we have never heard in our life, a cry of help, and he goes into a seizure. A good day, all of a sudden, just turned to a 911 call. I'm frantic on the phone. My wife's trying to revive him. He's unresponsive. He's twitching. He's convulsing. He's turning blue. trying to revive him. We're pleading the blood of Jesus, speaking in tongues, calling the 911 ambulance that you need to get here. They're saying, you know what, you need to calm down. And I'm like, no. You talk to 911, you go back, you fire your prayers, you speak in tongues, you go back to the 911 call. We were ready, praise God. But one thing that we talked about afterwards was, in the midst of it all, as frightening as it was, this garment of confidence in the Lord, knowing that not today. Amen. We just had that confidence that not today. Because that is not the will of God. The will of God is not for parents to bury their children. Never. God came up big for us. We are grateful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And of course, go to the hospital. He has a high fever, spiked real fast. And then we had to trust God for that fever to break. It took 3 days. Prayers. Love from our pastors, from the church, from church members. It's calling to check up on us. And by the grace of God, that boy is running around. You wouldn't even know. You know, and we give God praise for that. We have seen him do it. And I know that you have seen him do it. If he did it before, he's going to do it again. Very soon. Very soon. He's the Lord of the breakthrough. He's the Lord of the harvest. The greatest healer. Your provider. Your source. Never forget that. Amen. So, Lord, we're really grateful. Wow, we're just so thankful for that. And that's how big our God is. He was big then. He's still big today. So, and sometimes we really need to repent for how we just limit God in so many ways. Just limit him. Thinking, I got this. I know that this was a state where I don't say it as much now, but I think a couple of years, I'd have conversations with my wife, and I'd just be like, I got this. She's like, no. You don't got this on your own. On your own, you're just you. With God, you are more than a conqueror. So why would you just be you instead of being more than a conqueror? There's so many untapped blessings for God's people today that right here as you're sitting down, it's in the spiritual just, and it's not far from you. It's not far from you. All you have to do is reach out, touch, pull it down. Faith. Amen. With God, all things are possible, brothers and sisters. God fulfilled a prophecy from years ago. Zechariah said it. Jesus brought it to reality. God said it to you, or he sent someone to tell you years ago. Obey the Lord. Obey God. That life of obedience, that lifestyle of faith, why not now? This is the time. Today is the day. I would never waste a second. What of God says that my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is perfected in your weakness. When you think you're weak, reach out. God's about to do something. God's about to do something. God's about to do something. I was chatting with someone, a friend of mine, and she's like, "Oh, it's time to change jobs. It's time to do something." And so the text I sent back was, "Have you told God what you want? Have you told God how much you want to make?" And the response was, I should do that, right? I'm like, yeah. And what I sent back was, yes, do that. Grab some popcorn and enjoy the movie and watch God. Watch God come through for you. Because we know he can. By now, we should be gone past that whole can God. Nah. Yes, God. What if God says that you have the keys to the kingdom of heaven? I have given you the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind here on earth is bound. Whatsoever you lose here on earth has been loosed. Use your keys. Use your keys. The keys that lock the access of the enemy into your household. The keys of prayer. Use your keys. The keys that will get you to the next wealthy place. The keys of faith. The keys of obedience. Use your keys. Amen. With God, all things are possible. Without God, all things are not possible. Amen. So like I mentioned during the offering time, you do that which is possible. Make that commitment today to do that which is possible. And then you watch God do that which seems impossible for you to do, but possible for him. And this has been burning in my heart for so many weeks. So when I learned I was going to minister, I'm like, Lord, what should I minister about? And this is how it goes during the week. Lord, what should I minister? That? No, no, that. But then we were having prayers last week, and Minister Kelly was leading prayer, and she's like, and I was supporting her, and she's like, our God is a God of impossibilities. I'm like, that's it. I took the possibilities. And then I'm like, God is a God of possibilities. And he is a God of impossibilities. Because he's the God of everything. He will make it possible. He will make the impossible possible. And so I said, okay, Lord, possibilities. We'll talk on possibilities. You do that which is possible. And then test God. With your tithes and offering, which you're giving, do that which is possible. Bring all the tenth into the household of the Lord. And that's the only time God says, test me. That's the only time God allows you to prove him if he will not open up the windows of heaven for you. And pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. Can you imagine what kind of blessing that is? Mind-blowing. The kind of blessing that just makes you take off your clothes. Take off your shoes. But if you're alone in your room, man, I've heard of people who worship God just as they came into the world as a sign of honor. But you get what I'm saying, right? Just make you go, woo, hallelujah. You're going to experience, by the grace of God, you're going to experience that this year. Amen. Amen. I will too. But you got to do the impossible. I mean, you got to do that which is possible for you. Amen. And leave the impossible for God. Amen. Don't worry about it. Just leave it unto him. Amen. So many, many years ago, I had... after my school of ministry, I think I was given the opportunity to preach, to minister to God's people. And then I developed an acronym for faith. I was just preparing the word. I don't know if all of us were here then. But my acronym for faith to this day is Father, always in thy hands. And then I've been Googling ever since to see, would that come up? No. But that's my acronym for faith. It's Father, always in thy hands. When you always leave it in God's hands, you will see the impossible become possible for you. Amen. And the key word is always. I'm not a big fan of when people tell me always. If you come to me and say, I always, I'm like, yeah, right. That's just me. Because always belongs unto the Lord. I always brush my teeth in the morning. The day you forget that you don't remember, does that negate the always? Yes, it does. But our God is always good. Always on time. Always faithful. Always cannot fail. That is the God we serve. That is the God that we honor today. I call him the God of the wow. Because when he does it, you're just like, wow. Just want to get on rooftops and just proclaim it like, he's done it, he's done it, he's done it. And by the grace of God, we will have so many opportunities soon and very soon to say he has done it again. See healing just move, to see miracles, signs, and wonders just happen. It's happening around us, but then it's happening for us. So that it's not about, Lord, when is it going to be my turn? Right now, you've got to believe, I'm next in line for a miracle. So, imagine a line whereby everybody says, I'm next in line for a miracle. Imagine that line. I mean, that nobody's ahead, nobody's behind. We're all next in line for a miracle. And your miracle just happened right now. Amen. Amen. Because you just took a breath. You just took a breath right this second that you did not manufacture, that you have no idea where, just knowing fully well that God loves you so much to bless you. Amen. Brothers and sisters, believe that you are next in line. So I love that part of our confession where it says that no matter how life turns, whether it turns up, whether it goes down, we win. No matter what happens, we win. Because we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. So fret not. I want you to believe that you are more prepared to carry out God's instruction that he has given you than you think you are. I'm going to say that again. You are more prepared to carry out God's instruction than you give yourself credit for. Why? Because he's made everything available to complete that instruction. If he gives you an instruction, that means it's possible for you to do. Because God will never give you more than you can handle. If he says do it, he's already provided the grace, the strength, the wisdom, as well as the direction. That's the God we serve. So what has God told you to do? I know what he told me to do. Every single time I think that, I've gotten my Thanksgiving level to the next level, my Thanksgiving and worship to the next level, God just does something that shows me like, boy, you still got a long way to go. It's the next level. Next level of praise, next level of prayer, next level of excellence, next level of service in the Lord's house. It's the next level for your career, for your family. There's a next level in your giving. There's just next levels all around you. Grab it. Word of God says that let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You got to praise the Lord. He's done so much for you not to praise him. Amen. So why not do that? Which is possible. Why wait? I think that's the only question I want to leave you with is today, why wait? Why wait on doing that which is possible? Because every promise in the Word of God has a condition. You got to do something. God is all merciful. He's holy. But he wants to know that we trust him, that he can count on us. It's a two-way covenant. It's a two-way covenant. You do, I will do. Don't worry about me doing. You know I can do it. But can God count on you to scream from the rooftops that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life? Can Jesus count on you to be a light wherever you go? Can Jesus count on you to just trim those rough edges? Can Jesus count on you to pick up the phone and forgive that brother or sister that hurt you so many years ago so that you can be free? By the grace of God, he will always count on you. When he comes visiting, when he comes, let him count on you. And also, I just pray that in the name of Jesus, the Lord will not be a guest in our house. Don't treat the Lord like a guest. Well, I'll let you in on Monday because I need you on Tuesday. Then by Wednesday, after the 1 hour in the Word, Lord, can I just be me? Can I just have my household to myself on Thursday? Then we could get back together on Saturday. No. Let the Lord be a permanent resident in your house, in your life, in your career. Amen. So we celebrate God today. We celebrate the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem today. And next week, we're going to celebrate the resurrection. Jesus is alive. Amen. Say, Jesus is alive. Amen. Wow. He's alive forevermore. Amen. 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 So as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday next week, let's remember to invite people into the house of the Lord. Tell someone about Jesus. All you got to do, what is possible? Come worship with us. That is possible. And then watch God do the impossible and bring them into the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen.